This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
And from the St. Hubert Cathedral Annex here in coastal southern Alabama, welcome to the Outdoor Show. Another July weekend, and man, the fishing rodeos continue. If you haven't signed up for one, you'd like to. Got lots of details on some upcoming events over the next few weeks. Also have lots of reports from our field staff to help you locate and catch fish during this really big tide weekend. You know, these last few weeks have been what I would call typical Gulf Coast summer. You know, we got the real hot temperatures, and it gets cooled off around midday, pop-up thunderstorms, south and southeasterly winds dominating. It's kind of so far what we expect here along the Gulf Coast. And if you got out into it and you had a successful report, love to hear about it. Share it with our listeners, and you can do that via our in-studio text line. That number is 504-260-1870. And we also appreciate your comments, your questions. Again, that number is 504-260-1870. Please include your name and where you're listening. Earlier this week, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Commission meeting was held. It was pretty lengthy. Had, 18 agenda items. Did you go in person or did you Zoom it? If you did, I'd like to hear your takeaways on the two most important items. One was the Pogie Boat bycatch report, and two, the results of the Waterfowl Hunter Survey that's going to be used to set the dates, the zones, and splits for the next 5 years of waterfowl hunting. Got a comment on it? What do you think about the report? Have you had a chance to look at it? That's available in its entirety, and I got to tell you, it's pretty lengthy. It kind of gets in the weeds on the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. You know, I'm not a claim to be a clairvoyant, but you don't have to be to predict what would happen this past July 4th weekend. And as I predicted on last week's show, there's a whole list of bad boys that were nailed during the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement's Operation Dry Water weekend. And we've got more about that to come. Want to say hello and congratulations to our friends at Marsh and Bayou. You know, they've got the magazine, but they also have a retail store in Mandeville, which we've done this show there several times. They are celebrating 5 years in business. Their fifth-year anniversary, congratulations to Chris and Ben Tiblier. Stop by the store there in Mandeville. And by the way, they got a really special offer. For everyone who makes a purchase there, you'll qualify for a drawing for one of those ballistic MQ spinning reels. Boy, this is, we talk about state-of-the-art and technology. It's a $250 value, and for simply making any purchase, your name could be drawn. All right, we got those rodeos to talk about. Going to go over that study, some of the results, and what I took away from a very lengthy meeting on a report on the Menhaden industry that's been long overdue. Would love to hear what you have to say about it. Taking a look at the weather forecast, if you headed out today, well, yeah, it's going to be hot, but remember those thunderstorms in the afternoon mostly will kind of cool you down. Offshore, boy, some ideal conditions. Light southerly wind, 5 to 10 knots, even better tomorrow, about 5K, maybe a 1 or 2 foot sea. And on the interior lakes and bays, you're going to find southwest winds, 5 knots, pretty light, not too bumpy out there. Big tide range, 2.0 is the average tide range, higher in some areas, lower in others, but that's about as wide a tide range we get along the Gulf Coast. Mississippi River's at 10.0 and falling. Rain chances, well, it's just the luck of the draw. It's 40% today, 60% tomorrow. Don't let fear of the forecast weather, rain, pop-up storms keep you from getting out there and getting in to what's been some great fishing. And you'll hear from some of our field reporters. We'll have Mike Gallo, Robbie Campos coming up in just a few minutes. Ryan Lambert down the tip of the boot. Got a paddler's report with Eric Mohabarak and a whole lot more. So stick around. You got it. You found it. You are tuned to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Net.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Work. Oh, yeah, when God created shrimp, he sure gave us a special gift, whether using them for bait or for meals. Love those shrimp, and boy, they're nice this year. Let's talk to Robbie Campo. He deals with them every day, scooping them out, counting them out for the fishermen down there. And, Robbie, I'm looking at the radar, and you guys look pretty clear right now, but I'm sure that's going to change. We have typical summer-type weather, man. We got pop-up storms just about every afternoon. Depends on it's hit and miss where you are. But, man, what a tide range we got right now. How's it shaping up for this morning?
Well, I'll tell you, Don, it fell out last night. I would be really worried about running that Spalls Canal this morning. If you know, you know. I'm going to do like the Morris Bart sign. If you know, you know. When you get to the end of that thing, you better know where you're going, and it'll be bow down and gas on to make it across that pond, you know, that big lagoon on the end there to get back up in the Spalls Canal again. I wish you know, the state would go there and dig that thing out and make a, you know, make a really deep channel for the boaters to use, because, you know, it wasn't up to us to put the rock dam. So they, you know, Congress put the rock dam, so they gave you alternate routes, and that's what you got to go by. So maybe one day somebody will take the initiative and go dig that thing out or something. You know, take the bull by the horns and go do it. But I tell you, Don, it's been a pretty good week. We've seen a lot of fish caught this week. You know, whether you're fishing in the Sound, whether you're fishing in over the oyster reefs, it's just been good all around. You know, it kind of slowed down a little bit here in the Lake Bourne area. I think, you know, they lasted longer than I thought they were going to last in here. And they finally pushed their way out to go spawn or whatever they go do on when they go to that outside edge. But you can't hardly buy a speckled trout in this inside anymore. I mean, they're catching some. It's just not what it was, you know, last month. So, but most everybody is running out to Anastasia, the rocks, you know, and this time of the year, Don, you know, we always talk about we're in the hot dog days of summer. You know, fish like to be cooler, just like you like to be cooler. So, you know, you got to start fishing a little bit deeper. I look at people the way they rig their poles when they come in, and you know, and all I hear is about the 12.5 and 11.5 inch fish, and I say, well, you know, I'm looking at your rig. You know, have you tried fishing the bottom? Well, no, we didn't. Well, you got to go deeper. If you're going to fish over the marshes, you're typically going to, you know, over the oyster reefs, you're going to have a lot of throwbacks in there anyway. A lot of white trout has showed up, even more than we talked about last week. They're pretty thick out there, and if you're not keeping them guys, you're missing the boat. Don, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, did you see the study that came from Wildlife Fisheries, what the pogey boat kills this past Thursday?
Yeah, I zoomed that entire lengthy meeting. It kind of got into the weeds. There was probably a lot more information than we needed, but there was some vital information that they pulled out, and I'm going to talk about a little later on in depth about my three takeaways that I came away from that meeting. But the industry, who pretty much funded the study, is kind of crowing about the results of it. They're pretty happy with it, but there's some things there that they kind of glossed over, and one of them is the amount of bycatch on the Atlantic croaker, white shrimp, and also the sand trout, the white trout. You know, they according to their study, and I guess to get the results that they really desired, in 2024 they probably altered their methodology in both gear and the techniques that they used to make it look better than it did in years prior. And I think it did, and I think they're working more and plan to do more to continue to decrease the take of red drum. But I would be more concerned about some of these other species, not only because they're recreational species, also because they're food, they're forage fish for some of the predator species. And, man, they are pulling a lot of them out of there. I'm talking 8+ million croakers that they catch out of there. And, you know, we all know what's going on with the croakers. I mean, you can't hardly find a croaker other than bait size these days.
Well, exactly. You know, and I think that's some very alarming numbers, you know, Don. And, you know, and they say that the bycatch offshore is less than the bycatch that they, you know, when they inshore. So if that's the case, well, the industry, you know, their industry really needs to look at maybe pushing that like they did on the other side of the river. But I think that buffer zone, instead of being on the end of the short rocks, you know, if there's more bycatch at the end of the short rocks, these guys need to be out maybe by the islands, or maybe in that channel that runs from, you know, across that big gully that runs across in the deeper water, if they say less bycatches in deeper water. So There's a lot of things that I think need to be looked at in this whole industry. Shrimpers get blamed, and I said, well, let me tell you something about shrimp trawls now. You have to have a TED in a shrimp net. A TED in a shrimp net's got a 30-inch hole in it, so on the top. So a lot of fish get out of that TED. And then on top of that, it's optional, but a lot of fishermen do it. They put a bird in it. It's called a bird. It's a little metal triangular-looking device, and it lets the bycatch out. And look, shrimpers don't want the fish, okay? They don't want to catch bycatch. They want to get rid of all of that stuff, stingrays, batfish, whatever. And all that stuff, you know, goes out of a turtle chute. It goes out of a TED. And the little fish swim, and they get out of that bird. It's called a bycatch reduction device. And it's a little, it's only about maybe a foot and a half long, maybe a foot long. It's a little triangle-looking thing that goes in the net. And we use them in our nets from time to time when the fish are bad. And it does let them out. So, we had way more shrimpers in the 70s than we have now. We only have a handful of shrimpers now. So, with the price of diesel and people getting out of the business and so forth and so on. So we can't blame this on solely on shrimpers. You know, this industry has to be looked at. As 140 to 150 million other fish that they kill besides that staggering numbers. I don't care who you are, whether it's white trout, croakers or spots or red drum, that besides the speckled trout, that's a lot of fish to be killed. And if it does go through that sucking machine, it goes through the grinder and goes and makes and turns into meal. So, you know, Their bycatch was increased to 250,000 pounds on them boats, and those boats hold over. People really don't know what these boats hold. They hold over 1 million pounds of fish in them. So, you know, and this is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and we know they're politically connected, and we know they got lobbyists on the Senate floor. But you know, the politicians work for us, Don. We the people hire these guys. So when we vote for them, we hire them. And they should listen to us. They should listen to their constituents, and something has to be done.
Well, I'm going to get into this later on, but two of the really glaring things I saw, this was a big, comprehensive, very expensive study, and guess what they did not include in it? The amount of bycatch according to the depth of the water. They were asked about it later, and one of the biologists said, yeah, well, I guess we could run a line and we could do that. I mean, that was the whole point of the argument. How far offshore should they be allowed to net? And none of that was included in the study as far as the ratio of what the bycatch is at a certain depth as opposed to another. So they say they can still do that, and they plan on getting some of that. That's another thing. And, of course, like you mentioned, the release, there's a tremendous increase in the survival rate of the bycatch if they do it at a point called rollover, where they take it directly out of the net before it goes into that suction hose and goes up into the vessel. Because once it gets in there, it ain't good. You're talking about a 2% survival rate coming out of there, but you know, it's much higher. It's like 84-85%. But again, that's like what the shrimpers are doing, going through the device that allows them to escape the turtles and the bycatch from the fish from the birds. So the matter of the technique they use can determine a lot of the survivability of the fish. One of the other things that they didn't point out, they point out that the recreational fishermen take 96% of the red drum that are removed from the Gulf, and they're only taking less than 4%. But that less than 4% they're taking, guess what most of those fish are? They're the big spawners.
All layers.
They're the ones that 100% of the recreational fishermen are no longer allowed to keep. So they didn't really take that into consideration. They took out of the survey, the study, what benefits them. So there's still some questions to be answered about it. We're going to get a lot more into it. But thanks for bringing it up and your attention to it. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, all right, Don. Well, if you're coming down this morning, the tanks are full, and you want to catch some live shrimp, and you come on down to Campos and hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us. We're here waiting on you. We got a full crew here waiting, they're up there waiting on me to get back up there. everybody's out there scrambling. So if you come and fish, and come on down and see us.
And get that star ticket too. Don't forget that. Still going.
Oh yeah, get your star ticket. Oh yeah, absolutely. You got to have that. Gotta have.
See you
that.
Later, Robin.
I wanna be the
Thank
guy.
You, bud.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Don't be that guy. We already got a few of those guys. All right. Coming back after this, going to talk more about what went on at the Department of Wildlife and Fishery Commission meeting. Have you seen the survey on the menhaden industry, the study that was done in 2024 last year, what the results are, what it could mean? Love to hear from you. Shoot us a text, 504-260-1870. We're back right after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
All right, checking in our text messages. Let's see what our text messages have here. We got Michael from Mobile Bay. He's heading out right now to do a little fishing over here on the Alabama coast. Our friend Wingbone, the turkey Wingbone caller, is up and early this morning in Wilmer. And we got the backstrap stacker. He's making a trip to the camp, knock down a little grass, and fill some of those protein feeders. Hot and wet up here today. Yeah, that's going to be the case in a lot of areas. And an Ohio listener says, wow, it's Saturday. I thought it was Friday, expecting to hear the news. My heart leapt when I heard Charlie McDaniels, a robust and sultry good morning from Ohio, y'all. Well, it's not Charlie McDaniels. There's a Charlie Daniels and there's a Mel McDaniel. Mel McDaniel is the one who does Louisiana Saturday Night. All right, well, we got some stuff going on with fishing rodeos. I got to tell you about a special event taking place at one of the rodeos today. It's called the Blue Boat Boot Rodeo. This is in honor of a couple that put this together that lost their child to a drowning accident, and they're raising funds for child safety. And it's called the Blue Boot Rodeo, and it's held down at Grand Isle at the Grand Isle Marina. And today, between 3 and 5 at the Tarpon Pavilion, you can meet and get autographs from several of the LSU NCAA baseball national champions. I'm talking about Josh Pearson, the outfielder, Kasan Evans, the pitcher, Jake Brown, another outfielder, Dalton Beck, pitcher DJ Primo, pitcher Jaden Newt and pitcher Gavin Guidry. They'll all be there, lined up, ready to sign autographs for you, so bring something you would like for them to sign at the Blue Boot Rodeo, taking place in Grand Isle. Very, very worthwhile event. We also have the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo coming up. That's going to be July 17th through the 20th. That rodeo is headquartered on Dauphin Island. This is a huge rodeo. They're talking about somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 fish coming to the scales each year. And they're competing for about $1 million in cash and prizes, including a beautiful contender 26-foot bay boat with a Yamaha 250. And this year, you know, they brought back the shark species, and it's created a lot of excitement. They had one that came in a couple years ago. I remember it was over a 1,000-pound tiger shark that not only did it break the rodeo record, but also the Alabama state record. So even if you're not fishing in that particular event, there's always a lot of sights going on at the weigh station. And you need to get your tickets before next Friday at 5 a.m. That's when it starts. And have good luck in the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, that one's scheduled for the 24th through the 26th at the end of this month. Again, it's going to be at that Tarpon Rodeo Pavilion in Grand Isle. Activities go on from Thursday, and they've got the Children's Crab Race, which is always really popular. Scales will be open for the children and the adult divisions. Got divisions for just about every fish that swims. And continues on Friday, and next that'll be Saturday the 26th. And it goes on all the way till the 8:30 p.m. Saturday night rodeo award presentation. And they do that grand prize drawing. So lots of stuff going on there. And then we have, if you were tuned in last week, we talked to our friend Mitch Juricic at Delta Marina, the 75th Annual Empire South Pass Tarpon Rodeo. That's also going to be July 31st, August 1st, and 2nd. That one will be at the Empire Boat Harbor. And if you like big money tournaments, the Mobile Bay Big Game Fish Club has their Billfish Unlimited tournament scheduled off July 31st through August 3rd. It's at the dock there at Orange Beach. That's the one where they compete for some huge, huge prizes catching those billfish. So lots of activity going on and things to get involved with along the Gulf Coast. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and kind of recap, if you missed it, what went on at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries commission meeting that took place this past Tuesday. I was there in by Zoom, and it's something you can do if you have access to the Internet. You can, instead of having to drive to Baton Rouge and sit through the meeting, you can Zoom it and take in the agenda items you're interested in. Had a couple of very important ones, one dealing with the waterfowl seasons that will be set not this season but for the next five after that. And also the results, a presentation on the menhaden industry study that was done during 2024. And I got some comments about it. Hope to hear some from you, too. We'll be back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. I wanted to alert those of you in the Lake Maurepas area that are concerned about the planned carbon capture project that's going to be there, where they want to pump carbon dioxide and store it underneath Lake Maurepas. There's going to be a public hearing, a town hall meeting on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. at the Lions Club in Ponchatoula. There's going to be a lot of state representatives there listening to that presentation and discussion about that program. I know a lot of you, it's a controversial project and have voiced your opinions about it. There's going to be an official meeting where you can learn more and have some input at 6:30 Tuesday at the Lions Club in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. All right, we got a quick 10-second pause, and we come back and tell you about some of the things that went on at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. Something very important. We'll be back to do that, but first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Item number 7 on the Department of Wildlife and Fishery Commission agenda this past meeting this week dealt with the annual Tophiel Bourgeois Memorial Award, and it was at this time on Saturday morning for decades. Captain Tophiel would share his fishing technique and his information, his data that he'd acquired, and also has his great sense of humor on this program. And this award has been sponsored by the Louisiana Charter Boat Association, and it is presented to the Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Enforcement Agent who best exemplifies the mission with regard to professional Charter Captain's Protection, and it was named in honor of Tofield. It's actually called the Tofield Bourgeois Memorial Award. On hand to make that presentation was the Charter Boat Association Director Richard Fisher, and it was presented to Senior Agent Dustin Barton. And he chose to make a $1,000 donation to the Kerr County Relief Fund. And you know what that's all about in Texas. Those people there are going through some extremely tough times and some devastation, and that was very generous of Agent Barton to make that donation in their name. They also had an enforcement report, total of 1,481 violations in the month of June. Some of those were given warnings instead of citations, but that's a whole lot of busy work. In fact, they were very busy last weekend doing that 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk more about that. Something else that went on, one of the items, the way the waterfowl seasons work with the flyway, the feds give you kind of a framework, and then the states have some latitude in how they want to set their splits and their dates, their zones. And there was a hunter survey that was sent out to all the people who had HIP permits and said that they hunted waterfowl. And the number that responded was very small. I think it was a total of about 8,000. And I had told you you'd be getting it and to please participate in it. Because if you don't participate, you can't really gripe if you're not happy with what happened because you had a chance to have some say-so. Well, they gave the results of that hunter survey, and I think they're going to pretty much go with what the majority of the hunters in Louisiana requested. And I'm going to talk more about that when we get Ryan Lambert on because I know he was very vocal about changing the way that we set up the zones because down along the coast, where you hunt tides, it certainly affects the number of days that you get. Anyway, we'll tell you the results of that survey. And also, when we come back after this new break, I'm going to get into the study that was presented at the commission meeting by the two biologists who put this thing together with regard to the menhaden industry and their bycatch results. We'll be back to talk about that. If you were there or you have an opinion on it, text us 504-260-1870 where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, the menhaden industry, very, very controversial industry. You know, we all remember the lost nets, the broken nets, the torn nets with thousands of floating bull redfish and putting in some regulations on the distances that they'd be allowed to operate off the coast of Louisiana. And they called for a study. The legislature demanded in the Wildlife and Fisheries. Well, that study was done over 2024, and the industry is pretty happy with some of the results. What they say are some of the key findings, that the redfish bycatch is minimal. They accounted for 30,142 redfish mortalities, which represents about 3.4% of everything that is removed by the state. The other 96.6% would go to the recreational fishermen. One of my concerns would be, yeah, but the third 3.4 are pretty much all spawners. They're taking in the big red drum. They also said there's some high survival rates on red drum that are released. 44,593 of those, about 84% will release if they use the rollover method, what I'll talk about in a minute, and just 2%, a very low survival rate for those that make it into the chute. I came away from what was a very, very deep in the weeds presentation, went on for well over an hour and a half. One of the things was, and I think they kind of glossed over this, was the croaker take. Had no idea that, you know, it was mostly unknown bycatch mortality of croakers, and the industry could be what they're doing, a major contributing factor to the demise of large offshore croakers. Following a listener request on this show, I did some research on what the croaker status was, and believe me, there's not much out there. What is there is outdated. It's only on pretty much a Gulf-wide basis, not a state-by-state for the most part. And a biologist told me that it's not a species they are required to do a stock assessment. I think they should be. And it's not likely to become one. It's kind of like a forgotten, written-off species, at least for recreationals, and that's shameful. The take that they observed, that they took in 2024, was 80.5 million croakers. And that's a lot of croakers. And if you look at my research that I did, I showed a graph of how many recreational croakers were caught from 1981 to 2015. So this data is now 10 years old. but it went from a high of 3.5 million croakers being caught in 1983 to 2015, where it was less than 250,000. That is a drastic drop, 3.5 million to 250,000. And I would venture to say it's continued because it's a straight line graph going downhill that over these last 10 years, it's even less. So I think they need to pay some attention, do a stock assessment on the croakers, and maybe try to figure out a way for this industry to do more live release on croakers. They did pretty much the study on the red drum was pretty comprehensive, although they did miss a couple of things, like the spawners are the ones that they're taking, and also about the methodology of the release. One of the other things that I think it failed to do, and to provide what I thought would have been the most significant data it should have, and that was a lack of the correlation between the bycatch by species and the mortality rates based on the distances they operate from the coastline. That's the very regulatory issue the compromise argument is all based on, and yet they didn't have that. They said they can get it pretty easy by graphing out the depths of the water and the distances from the shoreline, and we'll see if a follow-up study on that comes out. The third thing that I saw was the biggest opportunity to reduce the bycatch is to shift the release protocol from chutes after being chutes. When they go through a chute, they've already been sucked through the pipe from the net. The survival rate there coming out of that chute is 2%. It's very, very low. The other type that they do is called rollover release. And what that is they showed it on video. They pull in the net in on the circular boats, and they basically roll the fish over directly out of the net. And the survival rate on those fish, and they took some of those fish and kept them and studied them and tagged them and documented how well they survived, and it was pretty comprehensive study. I think it was accurate. 84% that were released out of the rollover were survived. So by increasing the methodology, now, prior to 2024, who knows what percentage of the fish went into the chute and what percentage of the fish were in released directly from the net. It's more labor-intensive, and I think they probably would not choose to do it that way. But I think that by increasing that, and not just for the red drum species, I'm talking about for the black drum and also for the croakers, if they could possibly do that. Very, very difficult to release croakers in a rollover method. But anyway, 83% for redfish, 87% for black drum, and 73% for sail gaff top catfish would be the survival rate using the rollover. Conversely, the chute survival was only 2% for the redfish, 2% for black drum, and 40% for gaff top. So if they can continue to increase that, they've also got some new equipment, things that will filter out the fish from going through the suction into the tube. They can increase the amount of live release even more. And I think there's an effort on the industry. They realize that, you know, the gun is on them, and they've got to improve their numbers if they're going to survive. But they're pretty happy with what they saw. But I still think there's some more improvements they can do and some questions. You know, the white trout is another one, 24.7 million pounds of sand trout or sea trout, white trout, whatever you want to call them, and 5.7 million white shrimp were also caught as bycatch in the net. So the saga goes on. It continues. And if you want to see it, go to their Wildlife and Fisheries website, and you can find the complete and entire study there, and maybe have your own opinion on what you think needs to be done with it, if anything. All right, coming back after this, we'll talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter, get a report on a very busy area rodeo-wise this month. We're talking about Grand Isle. He's in the middle of it, and he's back with us right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's get a little outdoors fishing, more specifically, from Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com, down on the island. Darrell, I know it's busy time down there. How's the fishing been this week?
You know, Don, I think we're starting to see a direct correlation to the fishing. And, you know, we talked about how Monday through Thursday has been pretty good, been pretty great. But then when you put that increased boat traffic of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on it, it starts pushing the fish down a lot and breaking them up a lot. But all week long, it's been pretty good. Like I said, Monday is about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. But that wind's blowing pretty good here this morning. But, you know, 3 days in a row just to go and stay with the inconsistency thing. 2 or 3 days in a row, it was limits, real easy limits on the beach, quick and easy early in the morning. And then all of a sudden you go back day three, and boom, the fish have disappeared. Nothing's changed meteorology-wise. I mean, sure, we were coming up on a full moon. The wind was great. Tides were great. Just the fish just moved. They disappeared on us. So you've got to, you know, on those days, you've got to run around and hunt and look. They're still real heavy on the croakers and pinfish. However, you start to see a little bit of a switch back to the shrimp. They're, a lot of the fish you're catching, even though you're catching with croakers and pinfish, are coming up with shrimp whiskers hanging out of their mouth. They are going deeper. We're seeing a whole lot more action on the Carolina rigs and the bottom jigs. So early in the morning, you still got a lot of good cork action, but once that sun comes up, gets hot, then we are seeing that the fish are going deeper and your Carolina rigs produce more. And you, like I said, you're just having to move around a lot. A lot of good sized trout and a lot of mixed in. If you get in the marsh, a lot of the throwbacks, a lot of the 12 inch trout stuff that, man, you just shake your head and say, man, a year ago you'd have been mine, right? but a lot of white trout are showing up, some good sized white trout too, especially if you're on the beach. Haven't seen a whole lot of the Atlantic whiting this year. They were real, real thick and real big last year, but we haven't seen a whole lot of them. I wonder how many of them popped up in that study, or even if they even documented any of that. But I mean, man, look, the weather's great. It's getting hot in the middle of the day, but putting together some really good fishing trips and making some really good memories.
Very good. Darryl, have you had a chance to look at the study? I know you're busy this time of the year, and, you know, I wish they would hold those commission meetings in the evenings. You know, they do it 9:30 on a weekday morning, and it's hard for people even to Zoom it because most people are working during the week.
Yeah, I've had a chance to look at some of the study, and like you, in fact, you and I were texting earlier this week. What really threw me off that I was not prepared to see, and was not looking to see, was the amount of white shrimp and croaker that were destroyed in it. And then again, like I said, I'm wondering about, were there other species that they didn't document, such as the Atlantic whiting, you know, the channel mullet. It's just, man, that's a lot. That's a lot of shrimp. That's a lot of fish. And I bet you that study that you were talking about the catch of the croakers, I bet you if you start looking at the regulations as to when other states started banning the pokey boats and pushed all of their catch almost off of the Louisiana coast, I bet you that decline in the croaker, knowing now what their bycatch numbers are, I bet you that decline correlates directly with that.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And, you know, I don't know how they could address that, because if they use that rollover method, and I'm sure they up to this point, and they probably didn't because it's more labor intensive, but the increased survival rate is dramatic. But how you would do that with smaller fish like the croakers and, you know, the striped mullet and even speckled trout, you know, it'd be hard to do that. So I don't know. But they also claim that, you know, by law they're allowed a certain percent, I believe it's 5% of a bycatch of all species, and they claim that this study showed they're about 3.4. So they're well under as far as what they're allowed to keep as bycatch.
Well, but Don, what you gotta correlate those numbers to, or what you gotta put those numbers into perspective. They're allowed up to that 5% of bycatch, but it's only taking place off of Louisiana's coast. I mean, just about every other state in the Gulf has shut them down, has moved them off of their coast. So all of the effort now is concentrated off of Louisiana's coast. So as 5% of what? 5% of 10 million pounds or 5% of 100 million pounds that they're harvesting? And that's where the disturbing part is they're all, it's all concentrated right here.
Good point. Well, it'll go on, and hopefully they can get some numbers on, you know, identifying the bycatch by distance and by water depth, which the study didn't do, although the study took in a lot of other things, but that was one sin of omission is what I'll call it. Darryl, I'm going to let you get back to fishing, but if somebody wants to go with you, tell them how to get you.
Well, they can find me on your website at dontheoutdoorsguy.com. They can find me at realstreamers.com, or they can pick up the phone at 257-627-6288. And Don, this weekend we're concentrating on the bait business a little bit. In fact, we're Ubering bait around right now.
Good deal. Thanks a lot for the report, as always, Darryl. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Don. Bye bye.
There he goes. All right, coming up after the top of the hour break, and we'll check in with Captains Mike Gallo, Eric Mohabarak, and Ryan Lambert, get some fishing reports, and your text messages are welcome, 504-260-1870. It's what we do every Saturday morning on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And daylight has arisen here on the Alabama Gulf Coast, and it looks like a good weekend for fishing. If you're headed out there, we got some more reports coming up for you. Also, your text messages are welcome in here to the studio. We got a couple of them coming in. This one says, it sounds like the Menhaden fishing industry has bought and paid for the Louisiana legislature's good graces. The Steel Man, checking in from Covington, he is heading for the Wrigley's to look for some redfish. Been a while since he's been there. Hope he finds them. I hope you do find them, Steel Man. Thanks for tuning us in. And here's one that says, they treat red snapper like an endangered species. I think you can follow the money when it comes to the pogies. Redfish, croaker, and everything else comes second to money. And that's Tony and Biloxi. They've already closed the Mississippi snapper season. What a shame. We've got a ways to go here in Louisiana and also Alabama. Here's another text. The pogey industry has the best legislature money can buy. I see some good faith effort. Yeah, you know, there's three companies. A couple of them, the money is actually owned out of the country, but there's some local jobs that it creates and some industry. I had a chance to meet Francois Cattell, who is West Bank Fishing, who is one of the American companies, and I see an effort on his part to try to stay within the limits. And, you know, unlike the other states, which has totally banned it, yeah, we could do that in Louisiana, but I think there's a place for it, but it's got to be done responsibly. And I don't think you can totally leave it up to them. I think there should maybe be some monitoring on some people on the boats, like they did on this study, to watch the techniques and get accurate data and information to make sure that they're not overstepping their bounds and having a detrimental impact to the recreational fishery and also to the seafood industry on many, many other species. I suggest if you're interested, check out that presentation. There's some interesting data that was acquired, and you can find it by simply going to Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, and you'll see it right there. All right, we got some good tidal range this weekend, 2.0 on the tide range. That is a big tide. I had some good reports from the eastern part of the state over there at Shell Beach, Robbie Campbell. Of course, the fish are gone deeper. The hotter the water temperatures get, the deeper those fish go. They like to seek a comfort level. So even over on Grand Isle, early in the morning, you can find them on the beaches, according to Darrell. But boy, then it kind of shuts down, and you got to head for some deeper areas and fish deeper. Get rid of those short popping corks and use either a sliding cork or maybe some of those Carolina rigs and bottom rigs. All right, we're going to take this quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to our Born on the Bayou buddy. His name is Captain Mike Gallo. Have boat, will travel. We'll find out where he's fishing this morning and maybe give you some advice to put a few in your ice chest. We're back with Captain Mike right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou fishing report with one Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of Sea Tow. You know them, those yellow boats always on the rescue, taking care of people who have problems on the water. You can become a member for $249 per year, and it's renewable each and every year, and that is dirt cheap if you compare what the cost would be if you don't have that policy and you need to get towed back to safety. They also do things like bring you fuel, jump start you if you got electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back. Call Captain Chris, great guy, 504-301-4545, or simply go to seatow.com and get signed up. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, I'm looking at the radar out there. Your area looks pretty good right now. What's your plan for today?
I tell you, Don, it's been a pretty good week. My plans today, we're going to head to the outer edges of the Biloxi Marsh. That's where the most consistent bite has been with this really big tide. We'll be able to fish current lines as they sweep along points. You'll be able to see those current lines. Popping corks, you know, the Four Horsemen style cork with various plastics or live shrimp below them is going to be what we do first part of the morning. As the day heats up, we'll move into deeper water and see if we can catch even more out there, unless we get lucky and catch our limit prior to the heat. Then we'll change gears altogether and see if we can find a triple tail.
How about redfish on the menu?
I've purposely tried to stay away from redfish. A lot of my customers will say, "Cap, whatever bites best, that's what we want to catch." So if I have the opportunity, I've been targeting trout more so than redfish. They still haven't come back with the numbers that I'm comfortable with. We can catch them. It takes some work. It's a bit of grinding. It seems one day when I do make a trip for them, one day I may hit them and have my limit by 9 o'clock, and the next day I may be out there till 1 o'clock. Just grinding it out, catching one here and one there. But they are coming back. I am seeing some smaller ones, catching them in the 8 to 12-inch range. So I know there's a class out there still yet to grow up and become harvestable size. It's just going to take a while. They don't grow overnight. And I'm trying to do my part if I can and not take as many out the system as we have in years past.
Good conservation practice. Mike, you know, yesterday evening, kind of late in the evening, I crossed over the I-10 twin span, and boy, the water was really laid down, looked kind of nice, tide running, didn't see a single boat. Is it worth going over there to those bridges? What are you hearing?
I've heard some sporadic catches around the bridges as well as Lake Bourne, but for me, the more consistent bite has been in that saltier water going toward the eastern edge of the Biloxi or Louisiana marsh. And I'll tell you, you'll know when you're in the salty water, or I should say salty enough water, when you start to see jellyfish. And it doesn't matter which type of jellyfish you see. You can see those big ones with the long tentacles, or you can just see the small ones that are kind of clear. But they will definitely be in water that's salty enough for the speckled trout while they're spawning, and trout are spawning at this time of the year, and they seek out a certain amount of salinity to have a successful spawn. And you'll need to be in water that's salty enough to catch trout if you're looking for trout this time of year.
Good advice. Mike, you mentioned triple tail, and on your trips, that's kind of like an after-dinner dessert when you're headed back to be able to pick one or two up. Have you been successful in finding any triple tail?
I've seen five so far this year, caught two, and one was a keeper. So we're seeing more. I've heard of some other boats seeing them. I know those guys out in Mississippi really target them, and I've heard that they've been catching a few as well. So it does seem to be a better year for triple tail than we've had in the last few. It's just a matter of finding them, seeing them, and being able to turn around and catch them.
Mike, on these hot summer days, you know, it's good to get some type of a light meal. And one of my friends contacted me about that fish recipe that you told me about, and I kind of named it Fish 320. It's very simple, very easy. Why don't you go over that again? Because I'm sure a lot of people want to take advantage of that, and it's really unknown, but there's no easier way, I don't think, to cook fish.
It's a very simple recipe. I sort of stumbled on it myself. But you get two paper plates. And you get your fish fillets, either white trout, speckled trout, whatever fish you want to cook. Season them however you like, some sliced butter, some little pats of butter. Season them however you like. Put the two paper plates in the microwave, one plate on top of the other. And about 3 minutes and 20 seconds, they'll sort of steam between the two plates. Very simple. Eat your meal. Plates go in the garbage can. Done.
Really, there's nothing easy, and it's so good. And you know that butter has tendency sometimes to kind of char up a little bit on the outer surface of the fillet. Man, what a great simple recipe that is. Anyway, there it is, and you could probably do it with almost any light flaky fish, even some coarser fish too.
I've done them. I've cooked all the different species that we catch in our area, and the one I like the least is redfish. So it's probably because I'm used to eating the redfish on the half shell or blackened. But all the other species that we catch, I like them really good in the microwave, especially the freshwater catfish, you know, fresh trout, hard to beat. Even when you catch croakers that are sizable enough to put in the and get a filet off of them, put those in the microwave. And it's simple. It's something I may do for some of my customers if the conversation comes up while we're on the boat, because it's so quick and easy. I can do that for them, show them how to do it. And then once you've seen it, it's easy to do for yourself whenever you want.
Yeah, one of the best parts is no cleanup. Just throw that paper plate away and you're done. Mike, always good to talk with you. Thank you for the report. People can find more information about you by linking to them from my website to yours at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. You're at AAofLA.com. Got nothing to do with drinking. Give them that phone number.
You can find me on the phone number as well, and that number is 985-781-7811.
All right, good luck today to you and your crew, and keep that eye out for some of those pop-up storms a little bit later on.
All righty, Don, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo. Coming up next, it's a paddler's report. If you like to get in a kayak, and so many of you do, we got a special report for you. Captain Eric Mohabarak of the Louisiana Kayak Company joins us next here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our stroker/paddler/peddler report is a presentation of the great folks over at No Wake Outfitters. You're going to find them in Metairie, right there on Airline Drive, 1926. It's your local fly shop specialist, but so much more. Got all the latest fishing tackle that works in the local area. Sharp-looking apparel, paddle sports equipment, got kayaks, do some demos. Ask them about their fly tying and fly fishing classes for all levels of experience. They'll open up today at 10 a.m. Stop by and see Justin at No Wake Outfitters, Airline Drive in Metairie. Eric joins us now, and Eric, boy, big news for kayakers, not so much for bay boaters, but the jacks are in the lake. Is that right? Tell me about it.
Yeah, they picked one up off the lakefront the other day, so you'll start seeing them out there busting up and everything on the mullets and the pogies and whatever else they eat over there. You know, it's always fun to catch them in a kayak. It's a fish that's usually caught and released. Some people do eat them. In fact, in other countries, a lot of people eat them. It's just looked down upon right here. I've tried it. It's not one of my favorites.
Well, I've actually got a recipe called Jackalax, and I fed it to some mostly sober members at a CCA meeting, and they kind of enjoyed it, but I don't know whether it was because of the alcohol or they actually did enjoy it. But compare the sleigh ride that you get from a redfish, a bull redfish, to a big Jack Crevalle.
Well, they refer to the Jack Crevalle as the pit bull of the Gulf. It's a much stronger fight, a lot further runs. Fish turn sideways constantly to make it hard to battle. Poor man's yellowfin tuna is also another. If you've ever caught a yellowfin, it can be close to that. I'm not going to say it's a full on yellowfin fight, but it's the best you'll get to it.
Yeah, I think if you hooked them up tail to tail with the bull red, I think the jack would win hands down.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's definitely something to do.
Give me some other reports. The flounder over there on the Mississippi coast, still active. Huh?
Don, they killing the flounder over there. I don't know why they got so many flounder over there, but they got flounder coming out the yin-yang, man. It's unbelievable the amount of flounder that's coming out of there. I mean, all of the reports, not only my friends who fish over that way, it's just unbelievable. I'm upset I haven't made a trip over there yet this year. This summer, well, it hadn't stopped. I mean, it's been a year-round thing. Some, like during the summer's better right now than it's been the last few months, but it's just unbelievable. Also, Don, they've been picking up on a few triple tail. They actually caught one in the back bay that I read about. Not that I know of out of the kayak. And speaking of triple tail, that was a question I had about the pogey boats. I'm not a biologist, and I'm not against commercial fishing, and I'm all for everybody doing their own thing. I'd like to say that first. But is this affecting the migration of the triple tail along our coast with the pogey boats is a question.
I'm sure there are some that are caught as bycatch, but it was not one of the fish I saw listed as was done by the study.
Yeah, that's what I've seen, too. But, I mean, I'm sure they have to be catching those also in there, and that might be something to look into also. But anyway, so, yeah, so that's a whole nother thing, and hopefully it all works out good for everybody, and we can meet in the middle somewhere, and everybody can be happy is the way I'm looking at.
You know, Eric, a lot of people can head this way over to the Alabama and Florida coast because such a short distance to get into blue water species, and also tarpon right now.
Yes, sir. They're starting to pop the tarpon right off of Pensacola. And you said you were in Alabama this morning, I think. I'm pretty sure they'll be swimming right by there, too, to head this way, head west, like they do every year. So, that's accessible to kayak fishermen off the Pensacola Beach right there. Just launch at the launch they have there by the pier and go out. And I like to go up current because I like to come down current when I come home. It seems to work best for me. It seems as if the time I did go catch one, it seems as if they're heading towards you coming with the current. So that kind of, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. It worked once, I can say that, and hopefully it'll work for someone else.
Yeah, the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, they got a CPR, which is Catch Photo Release Tournament, going on today called the Parishes. How does that work?
Yeah, well, it's a month-long tournament for Plaquemines. They doing like Chalmette, Plaquemines, Terrebonne, Jefferson, and they run it a month long. And I think the way it works is first, second, and third out of each month go to a final, and then you win something every time you place. And then I believe you go to a final, and then those 12 people or 9 people, whatever it is, meet at the end, and then they do a first, second, third for that too. It is Catch Photo and Release. Motors are allowed. So it's the, and I also believe it's the longest length wins.
What species is it?
Redfish, speckled trout, flounder. Slam tournament.
Yeah. Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, you're one of the very few charter companies for kayakers. You provide everything that's necessary. I strongly suggest people who are thinking about buying a kayak and not sure they'd be into it, take a trip with you and they'll find out all about it. How do they reach you?
Yeah, it's real easy. On your website, Don Dubuque, the Outdoors Guy, or Facebook, Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company. Real easy. Or just text me or call me, 504-313-8292.
All right. Sounds good, Captain Quint. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don. You have a great weekend, man. All right.
All right. There he goes, the winner of the Captain Quint of the movie Jaws lookalike. He looks more like Captain Quint than Quint does. All right, we come back after this. We got the bad boy feature. Yeah, Operation Drywater. I made this prediction last week, and I knew it would come true, and sure did. We'll be back to talk about it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to talk to Captain Ryan Lambert. I'm going to cover with him what went on at the Wildlife and Fishery Commission meeting with regard to making recommendations to the commission on seasons. When they do this, it's for a 5-year period. You can't change it. You're going to have to live with it. We've been living with this one. This year will be the fifth out of the five, and then in 2026 to 2030, there'll be some new zones and splits, and I'll tell you about the survey results that they sent out to you hunters. It was a very, very low response rate. We'll talk about that and some of the preferences and some things that the duck hunters in Louisiana are opposed to. But first, we're going to take a quick station identification pause and come back with our bad boy feature right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You may recall, if you were tuned in last week, I have accurately predicted that Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries enforcement agents would be pretty busy during the 4th of July through the 6th holiday period. They were participating in the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators' Operation Drywater campaign. They arrested 19 boaters statewide for alleged driving or operating a vessel while intoxicated. In addition to the DWI arrest, the department agents also worked and investigated 7 non-fatal boating crash incidents during the same period, with DWI allegedly being involved in 2 of those cases. Now, first offense DWI in Louisiana carries a $300 to $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail. Hit and run without fatalities or serious injuries, That carries up to a $500 fine and 10 days to 6 months in jail. Reckless operation of a vessel could bring a $200 fine and 90 days in jail. Additionally, and a lot of impaired boaters discover this the hard way, that anyone cited for DWI on the water or on the road will lose his or her driver's license and boating privileges for a specified time ordered by the judge. In other words, if you get a DWI operating a boat, you could lose your driver's license, and that could be pretty serious. Also, each offense of operating a vehicle or a vessel while intoxicated counts toward the total number of DWI crimes, whether it happened on the water or on the road, for our 19 bad boy of the outdoor boaters. Yeah, I got to tell you, that alcohol and water does not mix. If you're going to be out there drinking on the water, make sure you have a designated driver. All right, the waterfowl hunter survey was sent out to 66,651 hunters in Louisiana. Of that, 11,636 either did not hunt during the season or they were non-residents. So the total comments, the responses to the surveys that came in and were usable, 8,952. Now, can you believe that? The future, the fate of the waterfowl seasons, the splits, the regulations, the zones will be determined by less than 9,000 people when it could have been almost 55,000. So many of you got that survey in the email and you just deleted it, blew it off. Well, congratulations to the 9,000 of us who did participate. And some of the responses, I think the thing that stood out the most was the overwhelming dissatisfaction with Louisiana duck hunting. It was across the board, all the different zones. It was broken down by zones, and every part of Louisiana duck hunters were overwhelmingly dissatisfied. I'll tell you about some of the support that was there. We're going to talk to Captain Ryan about this. He makes his living partially duck hunting, and we'll talk to that. Some of the things that they opposed on that survey, there was an effort, there's been an effort in some states to prohibit the use of spinning wing decoys, those motorized decoys. Louisiana hunters are strictly opposed to the prohibition. In other words, they want to use them. Also, the whistling duck expansion, there was overwhelmingly support to expand the whistling duck season into the teal season. Right now you can shoot those, but they're here right now. In fact, I've got two of them that are raising three ducklings in my pond. It's very interesting. In this species, it's both the male and the female that protect the young little ducklings while they're swimming around, and I've been having fun watching them. But, yeah, that was one of the things they want. And also, they would like to see, they're opposed to state closing down on public areas, waterfowl hunting at noon. They'd like to see afternoon hunting. Those were some of the strong oppositions that the survey showed. But I'll tell you what the overwhelming choices were for the way that the season would be set up as far as splits and zones, and we'll see if you like it. But it's too late to do anything about it now, because you should have responded, and hope you had. When you get these, and I warn you to look for them, please participate in these, because this is what the biologists base their recommendations to the commissioners, and then the commissioners make it law. All right, coming back with Captain Ryan Lambert right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, we call him Plastic Man during the fishing season because he fishes with plastic, but during the hunting season, we call him the Man of Steel, throwing that steel shot at the ducks. And he joins us now. And, Ryan, I wanted to chat with you about this waterfowl hunter survey results, the presentation made at the commission, and I know you've been strongly in favor of going with a coastal zone, and that was one of the options that were given to these respondents. I got one of the texters that said, in Louisiana, we probably got 40,000 duck hunters who don't do email. Well, that may or may not be true, but they did send out emails to people who had emails. There were 66,000 of them, and of that, only about 8,900 comments were usable. And what it looks like, given all the choices on splits and zones, looks like we're going to go back with the same old, same old. It was pretty obvious that that's the suggestion they gave to the commission, and the commission has not enacted on it yet. They've still got some time to do it. But Basically, they didn't ask any questions. There was five of them. Two of them didn't even show up. So I think we're in for five more years of what we've had, which is that crazy east-west zone, which, you know, puts Shreveport and Venice in the same zone.
Well, I didn't get an email myself. And Lord knows I looked for it.
You didn't get one, a survey. Yeah, I guess they do it at random. They send so many out, and then, you know, it's how they do statistics. They take so many and then extrapolate it and say, well, that's a solid survey with a plus or minus margin of error on them.
Give me one good reason why there's an east and west.
One good reason.
There is no reason to have an east and west zone. North-south, there's a big reason. It's called tide. You know, so they already have a north and south zone. There's absolutely no reason for east and west. There's no logical explanation to why you want to divide the state down the middle, up and down, when the only variable that is different is the tide. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, as a lot of people that did not agree with us and didn't think that that was necessary, so I think we're going to probably see the same amount of zones and the same amount of splits for the next 6 years, including this
one. You know why? Because they don't hunt in tide. If you hunt in tide, you'd agree with us.
Yeah, well, where were those people? Why didn't they voice their opinions? You know, people are just so lackadaisical. They complain about things, but when it comes down to taking action to where their voice is going to be heard, I mean, they've sent, and this was it was probably a 5 or 6 page survey. There was a lot of questions about whether you like Saturday openings. Do you like a later or early teal season? Do you want early Canada goose season? Do you want 74 and 3 for specs, or do you want the fewer limit and more days? And, you know, a lot of questions to be answered, and unfortunately, a lot of people didn't respond to it.
Well, if you gave it to everybody north of I-10, well, they don't care. They have no care whatsoever. They think, okay, if we do east and west, we can go back and forth across the state with the two seasons right there next door to one another. Versus if you have a north and south, now you have a reason, because you cannot hunt in January. This January coming, I've got 5 days booked because I can't hunt any other days. I can't take customers out where there's no water. And there's not going to be any ducks because there's no water. They're all going to be sitting out on the bay. And this is going on for years and years and years. Year before last, I had it to where they changed it a little bit, and then they went right back to it because the guys in the north. Well,
I was just going to say, and it's not just a Ryan Lambert and his customers problem. It's everybody who hunts coastal area. You know?
It's actually a dangerous situation because, you know, they got what I call pilgrims, just everyday guys that go out there and renegade, and they really don't understand. You know, younger fellas, they don't understand the tides and all that. And you get a big negative, you get stuck out there and a storm come in like we had last year. And the wildlife fishery had to rescue people last year. It's a bad situation. You could die very easily out there. So, you know, it's common sense, and it's a real reason to do it. And instead, we're going to take some survey, and we're not going to do the right thing again, because the people in the north that are not affected by this, why would they care? It's like coastal erosion. They don't care about that.
Well, it's not too late because they're still open for comments, and if enough people would come up and make that argument and make it to where they could plainly understand why there's a big difference, I'd like to see it maybe follow Highway 90 across the state, if not at least I-10, I-12 like the Dove Line is.
Well, and you can make it anywhere that's coastal now. You find your a boundary like I-10 or something like that, that's fine because – because if you look at it, I-10, it goes all the way up there with going through Mississippi and the Biloxi Marsh and all that. They have the same problem. Delacroix has the same problem. The people in the West have the same problem because after we talked about it on the radio, a few of them got in touch with me. So I urge everybody that is north, south of I-10 to actually make comments on this, and because it's cutting us out of, you know, half of our duck season is gone because we can't hunt. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Hopefully we'll get some action and maybe some people will write letters, send emails, or maybe go there. You know, like I was talking to Daryl, they hold these commission meetings at the worst times. I mean, early morning on weekdays.
Tuesday,
I mean,
how many people?
Yeah, I mean, it's my job, so, I mean, I sat through the whole several-hour meeting. But, you know, for people who have make a living and got to work, I mean, why don't they hold some of these in the evenings, you know, where people
can. I wanted to go into work.
I guess they don't want people. I guess they don't want people to show up. They'd rather not have them.
They're at work, too. You got to hand them that. You know, they're at work, too. They want to go to work and get out. They don't want to work in the evening. I mean, you can't hardly blame them for that if you look at their side of it, you know, realistically. But you have to do your job and worry about all the people, not some people that, you know, the same thing with the youth on. Well, our water's not in yet. We don't want to have an early youth on. You're not worried about the youth. You're worried about you.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know. I'm very, very disappointed because I thought that was a shoo-in because they all agreed upon it. And they all agree that there's a reason. But then you take a survey and you don't send it to the people. I didn't get it, and I looked hard, like I said. You know, I never saw it, and nobody I know saw it. That's the worst thing. All the people that's affected by it never saw the dang thing. Wow, there got to be a better way.
Yeah. You know, well, I tell you, we need a better selection of commissioners. There were only five of them out of the seven that showed up, and there was really these two very, very important issues, that in the Menhaden industry, and one of them actually fell asleep. And you know, you can't. How can you be in charge of setting protocol and policy? And you fall asleep or you don't have a single question. Not one question came from the commissioners on that study that took at least an hour and a half to present. Just tons and tons of data and information. And I think that it was just over their heads and they just fell asleep and didn't even get involved.
Well, that's because you're putting politicians and people you know in a place that sportsmen ought to sit. And some of them are sportsmen, you know, some of them are there, but it's a political appointment, and I don't know why people want that job so much, unless it's a jumping board to do something else, but or some kind of prestige. But it's not getting the job done. I mean, you know, when I go watch them and they ask you the weirdest questions, like you don't know anything about this, and you're asking questions that so mundane. And anybody that hunts and fish knows these questions, and they're sitting there asking them, and it's just. And then on this, the most important thing they got, the two most important things in Louisiana right now, and they don't ask questions. That makes no sense.
Yeah. No.
Well, I urge everybody, where do they comment on this? Because we have got to get a campaign going for people in the South to campaign comment on it.
Well, the next commission meeting, they can show up or they can send simply an email and send it to the commissioners. Just go on their website and they have contact information for each and every one of them and can be sent to them and maybe they'll take some action.
So if we go to the next commission meeting, are they going to vote on it then? Because usually they have their mind made up before that meeting ever starts.
Yeah, well, they didn't, you know, they just got it. So at this point, it was the results, the biologist presenting the results of the survey to them. Say, here's what the people have said. Now it's up to you guys to make a policy and determine what we're going to do. So maybe if they get some other influence, one or two of them might step up and say, look, I've heard from so many people that are for this coastal and support this coastal zone. We really need to do it. And then, you know, at least it'll come up for discussion. But from what I saw, it was, look, total disinterest. They said, okay, that's what we got, and then they just moved on.
I had one guy tell me, one guy that ran the duck operation for the state, and he says, well, you know, when you make your living off of public resource, you have to take what you get. I said, wait a minute. It's not about me. It don't have nothing to do with me. I'm affected, but everyone is affected. It's not because I can't make money. I got plenty of money, and I like to duck hunt. I want to go duck hunting where there's water and ducks, and it's your job to make the seasons where I can do so. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I'm getting a ton of texts right now that people said they never got the surveys and the emails either.
Well,
so
all those people, we need to have a nice write-in campaign, be very nice, but tell them, you know, I can tell you exactly what days you're going to have water and which days you're not, you know, pretty easy.
Why don't you draft that up and you and I will get together and we'll send them some information or maybe I'll make a phone call to them and just discuss
it with them. So right now we have negative tides the 1st through the 6th of January. so you can hunt the 7, 8, 9,
scratch
10,
that.
11.
Yeah.
11 goes negative again, and it goes all the way to the 21st. You can't hunt.
Right,
so you get
right.
to hunt the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and the season's over. So we got about 7, 8 days we can hunt.
Well, hopefully we can get that changed because it is for a 5-year period, too, you know. Ryan, we got to go, my friend.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll get it out there, and hopefully. All right, we'll see you soon, bud.
All right, there he goes. Yeah, I got a trip down there, a hunt of a lifetime fishing trip. We're bringing a young 9-year-old down there in a couple weeks. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'm rounding out with a couple of texts here. One says Louisiana might need to hire a new governor and 144 new state legislators. Another says I live in Pearl River, never saw the survey in my emails. Bo Louie in Destrehan, he didn't get a survey. Here's one that says I buy my license and stamp for years. I didn't receive it either. Where can we send comments for North and South Zone changes? That's Phil and Thibodeau. Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. Look under the commission or the administration and their email addresses for them. Mike Benz, Delico Corporation, says he didn't get one, but he did see it from one of his lessees, and he's suggesting everyone needs to make a public comment. And finally, one says, Ryan Lambert's quote, I just want to go duck hunting where there's water and ducks. That's a T-shirt quote for sure. Maybe we'll see a T-shirt with that saying, I just want a duck hunt where there's water and ducks. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back to do this again all over next Saturday morning. We do it each and every Saturday, 5 to 7 a.m. Thanks to Chris Coleman for pushing all the right buttons at the right time. And we'll see you next week. Be safe out there on the water. And I'll see you on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.